Good morning. Turn our Bibles to Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. We'll be looking at most of this chapter this morning. It's good that we can meet together. You know, we come together, I think I talked about this a little bit last week, but we come together hopefully as a family. You know, we're different people from different backgrounds. We really wouldn't know each other apart from our common bond in Christ. And yet, because of that common bond, God has declared that we're his family. And so hopefully we're not here this morning just to do a few things, to log some time, to make an appearance. But hopefully we're here today because we want to be here. We want to remember Christ, as we just did. We want to encourage one another. We want to gather as a family. After all, that's what God really wants from us. He wants us to be drawn closer together, to be drawn closer to him. And the way that we can do that is by encouraging one another to draw closer to him. And through that encouragement, we're drawn closer to one another. And so this morning, as we think about Matthew chapter 6, and the teaching that's in this chapter, I pray that we'll be encouraged and built up. We'll be talking about our personal spiritual growth. We'll be talking about the things that we do as we try to draw closer to God. And I pray that you'll think about the things that you do for God, the motivations that you have and the motives that you have behind them. And let me read the passage, and then we'll pray and get into the sermon. I'm going to read chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, and then verses 16 through 21. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time that we have this morning. And I pray as we think about this passage and Jesus' teaching that we would really get to the heart of what it is that he's teaching. Lord, we know that you call us to follow you, and that for us to truly follow you, we have to mean it from our hearts. Help us, God, not to be anything like these hypocrites that we read about, who go about doing the right things, but for the wrong reasons. Help us, God, to focus first on the right reasons, and then to see the right actions flowing from those right reasons. Help us, God, to be converted in our hearts. Help us to be drawn closer to you. Lord, help us to think seriously this morning about what Jesus meant when he tells us to do these things in secret, in private, not to be seen by others, but to be seen by you. Father, help us never to be seeking a reward of righteousness from being seen by other people, but may our reward of righteousness come strictly from you as we seek to be drawn closer to you and are rewarded by you, with you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Father, that he taught these things, that he showed us the pathway to you. I pray that each day we would walk along that pathway, seeking to be drawn closer to you and to be made more like him. We thank you for his sacrifice and for the forgiveness of sins that are made possible through that sacrifice. We thank you, Father, that you have provided a way that we can be made clean before you, to be brought into your kingdom, to be made your people. And Father, we pray for those here this morning who may not, or who have not yet made that decision, that you would speak to them this morning, that your word would help them to see the abundance of life, the greatness of life, and the joy that exists in a relationship with you. We thank you that Jesus made all of this possible. We pray in his name. Amen. How many have ever known the feeling of trying and trying and trying to do something, but it never came together? I'm probably the only one who's ever pulled out some instructions from something like a baby crib, where it's only a picture and there's no written instructions anywhere, and has looked at the pieces and said, I don't think everything's here. And then you try to put it together, and you try, and you try, and you try, and then you finally give up before you break a piece that you know belongs in there somewhere. And then you go back the next day, and you try, and you try, and you try, until you give up again. Then you finally have to break down, call someone else to come in and put it together for you, because you're just not going to get it done. Maybe I'm the only one that's experienced that feeling of trying and trying and trying, but to no avail. Maybe in school, you try and try and try. You do the work, you do the homework, you pay attention, but for some reason when it comes time to do the exam or to do some other project, it just doesn't come together for you. Or maybe it's that way for you at work. You know what the assignments are, you know what the projects are, you know what's required or expected of you, and you try and try, but for whatever reason, you just don't get noticed, you get bypassed, your work is undervalued. Maybe it's like that for you and your families. You have relationships that you know need to be made better, and you try and try and try to make those relationships better, but for whatever reason, it just doesn't happen. And the feelings that we have when we try as hard as we try, and it doesn't come together for us, are feelings of defeat and despair. We struggle with maintaining hope. We struggle with trying to keep going forward in those cases because we just don't know what to do. We've given it everything we've had, but it hasn't worked out for us. We don't know how to move forward. We don't know what the next steps are. We don't know where to turn. And if you've ever felt that way about family or work or school or whatever it is, I think we'd all agree that those things still pale in comparison when we think about what happens in our spiritual lives when we try and try and try, but we do not feel that connection with God. We give it everything we can. We give it our best. We try to draw closer to God, but to no avail. We feel like we want more, and that's why we keep trying. We keep putting effort in, more prayer, more Bible reading, more attendance at Bible studies and worship meetings, more involvement in some of these things. And we keep trying. We try to fill the void by doing more. We keep doing more. We try to draw closer to God, but to no avail. And we feel defeated. We feel despair. What do we do? Where do we turn? How do we find what it is that we're looking for? Why is this happening? I think when we think about our relationship with God and we find that kind of despair or hopelessness because we've tried and it hasn't succeeded for us, we haven't found the success we wanted, though it's not because of a lack of effort, that we can look at some of the things that Jesus teaches here and we can question, at least in some cases, whether it is that we've approached a relationship with God the wrong way. Sometimes we find that our efforts are not met with the success that we want because we've been going about them the wrong way. Perhaps with God, we've done these things out of some kind of duty or obligation. And we've attempted to line up a resume that God would be proud of so that God would then give us the favor that we seek because we've done enough for him. And we all know that Scripture teaches otherwise, that that's not the way to find success with God, and yet it's still a path that many of us take. It's still a path that many of us have to discover for ourselves before we really understand that. It's one of those things where we can read about it in Scripture, we can hear it taught, but until we walk that path for ourselves, we don't really know it. But sometimes we don't find what we're looking for because we're doing it to gain God's favor. Other times, and this is more what Jesus is looking at here in this chapter here in Matthew chapter 6, but we do them for the wrong reasons to be seen by others. Sometimes we do things to influence others. We want them to do something, and so we feel like if we can be seen taking the initial steps, then we can influence them to come behind us and pick up the slack. And this amounts to a little more than manipulation. Because we're deciding for somebody else what it is that they need to do, and if we just get the ball rolling, then we can give it to them or dump it on them or hope that they're just going to come in behind us and take it over. And we're not doing these religious things or these spiritual things in any kind of an attempt to draw closer to God, but strictly to try to get somebody else to do what we think they need to do. And sometimes we do these things simply to impress others. And sometimes we don't admit this to ourselves, but if we really stand back and think about or look at what it is that we're doing and why we're doing it, we might see that we like being seen by others doing those things. We like to be seen in front of others. We like to be seen as the head of a particular ministry. We like to be seen as the go-to person to accomplish this or that thing. And it's not because we like to be seen drawing closer to God, but it's because we like to be seen by others. This is what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 6. Using three different examples of giving, prayer, and fasting, Jesus shows how our motives can become so messed up that we can do these spiritual practices that are known to draw people closer to God, but we don't find ourselves being drawn closer to God because we're not doing those things for the right motives. Jesus compares what pure righteousness is with that of the hypocrites, who do these things loudly and visibly to be seen by others. They want the admiration of people, not the admiration of God. And the admiration of people is very, very powerful. It can be very, very important. And once some people get a taste of that, they want more and more and more. And so seeking the admiration of people is powerful, but it always leaves us either needing more or completely dry with exhaustion. And for some people, they begin walking down that pathway. They do things to be maybe starting out with the right motives even, but they begin to see that people look up to them because of it. And they like that admiration. And once they start doing things to get that admiration, it never stops. Because once you stop, so does the admiration. And you have to keep going and going and going and doing more and more and more to keep finding that feeling of being admired. And there's only one end that's going to result in. It's an end of spiritual exhaustion and spiritual dryness. And once we start feeling exhausted, dried, burned out, now we start moving into feelings of frustration, jealousy of others that we see getting the admiration that we want so badly, but we're too tired to keep going forward. Bitterness at those people who we feel are taking our spot, and why aren't we getting it? And anxiety, because we look back to why we started doing these things in the very beginning, and it's because we wanted to be pleasing to God. We wanted to be drawn closer to God, but now we find ourselves so far removed from all of that. We're not connected to God. We're frustrated. We're jealous. We're bitter. And now we throw anxiety on top of all of that. And when we reach that spot, we're left to ask this one question: why am I not feeling connected to God despite doing what he says? And we realize one important lesson that will enable us to finally break through and find the spiritual growth that we want. And that is that it's not a matter of necessarily doing what God says, but doing it how God says. That's the distinction that Jesus makes when he shows that if we give, if we pray, if we fast, if we do those things that God has told us to do, just doing them in and of themselves will not be enough to bring us to the point where we want to be with God. Because it's not about simply doing those things, checking off that list, adding them to our resumes. But it's about doing them for the reasons that God tells us. And so Jesus teaches us that for us to draw near to God, we have to be willing to forsake everything else and go simply to God in the secret place, to do religious practices, prayer, giving, fasting, before God and before God alone. That when we do things like this to be seen by others, we disqualify all the good things that might come from doing those things in secret before God alone. And Jesus teaches us that our growth in God depends on inner attitudes, not on outer actions. And we go to this secret place to be seen by God, and it's in that secret place that we test whether it's really God that we want. When we examine that God says, in order to draw close to me, you have to pray in secret, where only God will see. Or to give in such a way that nobody else ever knows how much you give. Or to fast in such a way that nobody ever knows that you're responding to God in any kind of a way, you just look normal. Are we willing, Jesus says, to let go of all pretense and any effort to impress somebody else to find God and God alone? And it's when we let all of that go, it's when we give up on any kind of secret ambition, any illusion that we're better or more important than we really are, and we let go of all of it to simply go to God, before God, God alone, that's when we find out where God really is and who God really is. When we go to God in secret, it tests whether we are really doing things for God or for us. That appeal to be admired by people is so strong that sometimes we find if there's even a crack in that facade, to where we might hear the message this morning and say, I'm going to open up that door and walk through it and go do these things in private to simply find God. I'm going to not worry about what other people think. It's then we find out whether we're really doing these things for God. Sadly, many times we might find that we're doing them for ourselves. Jesus is critical of that, because we don't try to find God so that we can impress other people by how spiritual or how holy or how committed we are. Because none of that really matters. And the message that Jesus is going to be teaching throughout the whole gospel is that when we go before God, we can't bring a whole lot to him, because we don't have a whole lot. This is why he taught the way he did in Matthew chapter 5, or even when he began his ministry and he taught about repent, for the kingdom of God is here. The first thing that he teaches us is our priorities are probably misplaced already. And to find out how we can walk towards God, we have to make that a 180 degree turn. We have to repent. We have to turn. We have to let go. And as he comes into this sermon, chapter 5 is all about the attitudes that God desires. And it's not about doing the external things of the law or of the commands of God without having the internal heart and attitude that God wants. So we can keep all of these commands, Jesus says. But I say to you, he says, that it goes deeper than keeping external commands. God wants your heart. God wants your loyalty. And the way that we test whether that's what's most important to us is by going to God in secret and saying to ourselves, am I willing to pray to God and God alone? Or do I need to pray in front of other people so that they hear the turns of phrase that I have? So that they see the commitment to God that I have? So that they hear the names of God that I know? Or will I simply pray to God? Now, let's be clear. He's not talking about what happens when we gather together in public worship. He's talking about how do we conduct ourselves in our own lives when we're away from here. How do we go about doing things? Do we like, for example, when somebody's over visiting us, to leave a check that we've written to a charity on the table so that they just happen to catch a glimpse of how much we wrote that check for? Do we like to make sure that we're the ones leading the prayer for the meal so that they can see how righteous we are, that we didn't forget that, and that we were able to include this or that thing in our prayer? Do we like to let people know when we fasted or we've done some other religious activity so that other people know? Maybe we pass it off in our own minds as, I can be an example for somebody else to let them know what I did. But we got to be real careful at that time and question, looking at the words of Jesus to find out whether we're doing that for God or to be seen by others. And so when we go to God in secret, it also teaches us humility before God. Because we're going to Him in secret, nobody else knows. We haven't publicized it. We haven't broadcast it. We haven't made a big deal out of it. We've simply made a decision to go to God and to God alone. And it teaches us humility. Because we're seeking God and only God. Not the approval of others, not the admiration of others. And it also teaches us obedience to God, because God tells us to do these things in secret, to be seen by Him. And when we do those things in secret, to be seen only by Him, we're being obedient to Him. And it teaches us more and more about obedience to God. And then Jesus says, when you do these things in secret, when you give in secret so others don't see what you're doing, when you pray in secret rather than trying to impress others, and when you fast in secret rather than trying to influence others, God rewards you. That's your reward. If you want the reward of public admiration, then go out and do it in front of other people. But that's the only reward you're going to get, Jesus says. But when you strip away all that pretense, and when you make that commitment to go only before God, to find Him, He rewards you, and He rewards you with Himself. When you go to God only to find Him, you find the thing you're seeking. And so Jesus says that when we practice these religious things in secret before God, we will be rewarded by God. That reward is God Himself. It's that deeper relationship with God that we're seeking. And so we use these spiritual practices to draw near to Him. And we do it not to be seen by others and not to impress others or even to be impressed by them, but simply to draw near to God. When we think about giving, Jesus says it's not a matter of how much do you give. It's a matter of how much do you trust God. And it's not a matter of trying to impress others with the size of the check that you write, but simply being obedient to God to give to those in need, to help those in need. It's a question that asks us, how much do you trust God? Because it takes away everything else. We don't give to impress others. We give to be obedient to God. And when we pray, rather than praying in a set way at a certain place, at a certain time, where we know others are going to be so they can hear the words that we use when we pray, the better question is, how much time will you give to God? And I don't mean time necessarily that we have to pray for an hour a day, but are we willing to set aside time to go and pray to God, to be alone with God? Or do we say we only pray in front of other people? And when we fast, the question that we might reflect on for this question is, how responsive are you to God? When something comes up, when you have a difficult decision to make or a crisis has just happened, are you willing to pull back and be alone with God to reflect on that situation with Him, to be ready to follow His guidance? Or do you have to go and talk about these things before other people so that they see the tremendous discipline that you had as you walked through this? Jesus calls us, as we seek to follow Him, to grow in humility and obedience. These are the two things that he became known for. And in the book of Philippians, in chapter 2, Paul reflects on the obedience and humility of Jesus. And he says that when Jesus was here on earth, as he lived, he obediently followed the path that God had for him, and he walked that path with humility. And it led him to the ultimate act of obedience when he died for us. And now Jesus teaches us, going all the way back to his earliest teaching here in this gospel, that that's the same path he calls for us to walk. A path of obedience to God, where we learn humility before him. And we only find that when we're willing to leave everything else aside to say that he, that God, is enough. And so I guess ultimately this morning, that's the question for us to ask. Is God enough for you? Or do you need to supplement God with something else? Or do you need the admiration of people to feel good about yourself because maybe you haven't understood that the gospel is enough, that the gospel is good enough, that God loves you enough, that you can't ever do more for God? And it's not a matter of doing more for God. What really matters is how much God has done for you. And with God, it's always his action first, and then he calls us to respond. We never get put in a position with God where we have to initiate enough action first to gain the approval of God. That's a pattern for defeat. That's a pattern that causes us to do things to be seen by other people. With God, it's always God's grace and action first, and he calls for a response from us second. That's why God is enough. That's why we say God is good. That's why we say God's grace is enough. Because we realize in that secret place where we've gone to be with God alone and stripped everything else away, that God comes to us. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is enough. And that everything he's done for us is good. And that everything he calls us to will be even greater. But it's up to us to make that decision to go to him. And to learn what it means for him to be enough. If you're here this morning and need to respond to God, to answer his call in your life in whatever way that may take at this time, maybe it's to be baptized into the name of Jesus, to receive the forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, entrance into the church, and the promise of eternal life, or maybe it's some other spiritual need. But whatever that is, we can help you with it, and we'd ask you to let us know by coming forward as we stand and sing.